Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
And I have a question, Giglio. You and Lauren Brownlow are the gatekeepers for Law of the Wolf, NC State stuff, right? I would give you two, like, if you guys were to teach a class, you could have a whole curriculum on it, right?
Yes.
She did the NC State stuff podcast on WRALSportsFan.com. You have dubbed Law of the Wolf in the past. When you expect things, they won't happen. When you least expect them, they actually will, right?
Right. When you expect the most, you get the least.
This happened with Carlos Rodon yesterday, former NC State baseball pitcher, now with the Chicago White Sox, although it's been an adventure for Carlos Rodon because he actually was let go by the White Sox last year, and eventually he was brought back on, and he wasn't even supposed to pitch. He was supposed to pitch on Monday, but he was dealing with a stomach issue, so he ends up pitching last night. And he had a perfect game going into... He had a perfect game after 8 2/3 innings, right? Just one more out, man. One more out for the perfect game. And Carlos Rodon hits the batter's ankle. And mind you, this was after, I think it was Abreu in the previous, or the first out of that inning, had to make, like, the extra stretch at first base to even get the out, right? I have that right, right? So... So Rodon hits the cleat of Roberto Perez, ending the perfect game after 25 outs. He got the no-hitter last night, and here's Rodon on losing that perfect game.
Yeah, man, it's just one of those things. It wasn't meant to be. That was the pitch I wanted, slider back foot. I literally hit him on the top of the back foot. He just turned the page, and luckily we got the no-hitter done, and the rest is history, I guess.
If you watched the video last night, you could tell Rodon was kind of chirping at Perez, like you couldn't move your foot. And there's been some angry people about Perez not moving his foot. But this gets back to the central question. Was that NC State stuff last night?
I mean, he still got the no-hitter, and he still
won. Yeah, but dude, he had a perfect game.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the 20th no-hitter in White Sox history. Perfect games are a little rare, man.
I think NC State stuff with Carlos Rodon is when he... pitched 10 innings in an ACC tournament game and didn't get a win.
Well, yeah, there is that.
But that's more NC State stuff. No, but getting the no-hitter and getting the win, I mean, come on.
I just want to double check. I was just asking. Now, about hitting the guy's ankle.
Is this one of those unwritten rules of baseball that we haven't talked about?
Apparently.
Okay.
And I need, I don't know, maybe gold. Gold's left the building at this point in time, but Adam
got his hodge back to Canada.
Right. Plus, there's the Canes game tonight, so I'm sure he has to like make sure that his
feng shui is in the right spot.
Ranch setup is good for tonight's game, although it's a home game, so they'll probably go tonight. Regardless, it must be one of these unwritten rules things because I watched the clip a couple of times last night. If you missed it, Rodon with the White Sox is there staring down a perfect game. And he throws that slider, and it hits the batter's ankle. It happens bang, bang, that I don't think about it. Like, oh, man, that's bad luck. He hit him just wrong, and he was awarded the base. But there's been a pushback to that batter about how he should have respected the no-hitter on an 0-2 pitch, right? Because remember, if...
Yeah, you can't bunt. I know that.
That would have been ridiculous. Like
okay.
That's if Perez had decided to bunt and get out of a perfect game situation, then that does you get punched in the face for that. Like I don't.
But is this a corollary to that? Like if it's a no hitter or a perfect game, are you obligated to get out of the way and not break it up by being hit by a pitch?
But here's my question.
Also, kind of implies though. That there was some sort of control to the slider. It's a slider from a lefty pitcher coming in on a righty hitter.
Yes.
Right?
And I would argue, having watched the clip a bunch of times, How is Perez supposed to get out of the way in a bang-bang play like that? I don't know about you, but if I see a ball coming at me 90-some-odd miles an hour, I'm not exactly quick on my reflexes. If where's that going? Do I jump? Do I move? Blah, blah, blah. It hits me in the ankle. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time mustering up this anger over like he was intentionally doing it.
He could have told me up. It didn't hit me.
No. He clearly hit him. It bounced off him. Clearly bounced off him. So anyway, and apparently Perez, the guy whose ankle that Rodon hit, did say something to the effect of like, well, I knew he had like a no-hitter going, so I didn't realize he had like a perfect game. Is that supposed to change the outcome?
He knew.
Do you think he did it on purpose?
No.
Okay, sometimes he might have known, but he didn't get it away in time. It happens. It's just kind of amusing to me that people like want to clown this guy. Sometimes crap happens, and it happened to Carlos Rodon for the perfect game. A no-hitter is not too shabby, though. So good for
and
Carlos
and wins
Rodon.
Are good for Carlos, too, after all the injuries that he's been through, Joe. You mentioned his contract actually ran out after last year and all the different injuries that he's had. He's had Tommy John surgery. He's had other shoulder issues. He's 28, and right now he's on a one-year contract for $3 million. He's basically pitching for his career.
Yeah.
And actually, it was his first start of the season against Seattle on April 5th, where he was dealing. He had 9 strikeouts in 5 innings, and I thought to myself, I wonder if Carlos is back, because he hasn't been able to regularly pitch basically since the 2016 season.
Yeah, he gets drafted 3rd overall in 2014, and then, yeah, you mentioned some of those things in terms of surgery. He needed shoulder surgery in 2017. That was then backed up with a Tommy John surgery in 2019. When you get to a certain point, you can only throw so hard after a couple of these surgeries. But that's not to say that pitchers can't evolve over time, right? And then he only made 4 appearances in 2020. And as you mentioned, the White Sox did not offer him a contract extension or anything. Like I think the term is non-tendered. Right. So he was let go by the White Sox, but they did re-sign him at a much lower rate at the beginning of this season. And as you mentioned before, he did have a previous start, and yeah, he looked like he was pretty good. If this is a turnaround for him, that would be fantastic. We'll actually talk to Elliot Avent, NC State's head baseball coach, who coached Carlos Rodon. It's an off day for the Wolfpack before they kind of get back in action. The Notre Dame, I think,
yeah, their schedule's like the Hurricanes. I mean, they're basically playing every day.
They pretty much are. I mean, be curious to talk to Elliot Avent about how this baseball season has been in COVID. We haven't really spent a lot of time talking about college baseball, but they've had pauses themselves. Elliot Avent also has just achieved win number 900, last week? So we got plenty of things to talk about with Elliot Avent when we catch up with him in the 4 o'clock hour. It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. If you missed anything from today's show, check it out on the Best of the OG podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it. We're there. 5 stars only, of course, because it's all about positive vibes in 2021. One other note about baseball. There seems to be yet another round of how can you save baseball? Why do people not discuss baseball? And this, I feel like this conversation takes place every couple years, and everybody's got ideas to do it. It has not been a good run of headlines for baseball over the last couple weeks. Starting with the All-Star game moving to Colorado because of the Georgia voting ID laws that have been put in place. You also have the issues with instant replay from last week, like some real boneheaded moves of not understanding. Like, one, you can't review that. B, like, how did you review this and come to that conclusion? I mean, all sorts of bad headlines. The bigger issue, though, is that baseball seems to be lacking stars and moments. Last night definitely gave you a moment. You know, as much as we can talk about the lack of balls in play, as much as we can talk about how it's basically strikeouts and home runs in baseball and there's really nothing exciting about it or the pitching's too good, there is still something cool when you've got a no-hitter or a perfect game. I hope people understand it doesn't always have to be offense with baseball. There is a balance to this, and the uniqueness of a perfect game or a no-hitter absolutely deserves the attention it got last night and today. And I do want to blame one person within the company, though, for what happened last night, now that I'm thinking about it. So when Carlos Rodon was in this process of having a perfect game, our friend Jason Jennings decided to go on our company WhatsApp.
Did he?
And he said, not to jinx it, but Carlos Rodon, dot, dot, dot. There you go. So if you want to blame somebody,
wow,
blame our colleague Jason Jennings.
What's his Twitter handle so we can get it out to the people?
You know what? I follow Jason, but I actually forgot what his handle is because he's not an active tweeter.
Oh, so it won't hurt him too bad.
Nah, it won't hurt him too bad. Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, who's hanging out with us in studio. Brownlow, what up?
Hey, this is nice.
Yes, it is nice. A little bit of context. When Gillio and I started the show up a year ago, the original intent of the show was to have you actually hang out in studio with us a couple times a week. And then the pandemic hit, and everybody was sent home. And you have not been in the studio with us since, or ever, actually.
No, I haven't.
You have not.
It is weird, though, because, like, I have to get my schedule rearranged. You know, like, I'm used to just doing this from home. So I'm
That's
like,
right.
Oh, no, I don't have as much time to do all of these things I usually do.
Yeah, so the whole point was, hey, Brownlow's going to be part of the show. It's kind of hard to do when you're actually not here.
Yeah.
But now you can, which means
Yay.
You can, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's not just, hey, Joe. It's, hey, Jolo.
Nice. Joe cracked the door.
All right, kiddos. First up in Hey Jolo, from Cindy on Twitter. Hey, what does Jolo think of the makeup of the new UNC assistant coaching staff? First time head coach and all assistants played at UNC. Is this a plus, minus?
Yeah, some of the highlights of the new coaching staff for Hubert Davis at UNC would include Jackie Manuel, who's now part of the posse, coaching posse.
He has his posse.
Jeff Lebo was added to the staff. Sean May was elevated to an assistant coach. Was it Brad Frederick? Frederick also on the staff as well. So I guess the surprise would be there was no Steve Robinson on the staff.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, I think the writing was on the wall a bit there when Hubert was hired. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Like he literally said, I want to hire an assistant coaching staff that's all former UNC players. Like there's not a lot of gray area there, really.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't Steve Robinson kind of come with the furniture at this point in time? Does he not get honorary? I mean, for heaven's sake.
Well, to be fair, now we'll see what Steve does, right? It could be that he's just ready to move on himself.
He could be retired. Like, he's done it for a long time. He's actually in the Assistant Coach Hall of Fame.
Yes. And with good
cool.
reason. What has he been with Roy for like 26 years, I think the number was? Like that's pretty crazy. So, you know, he's getting up there in years himself. He might just, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't have framed it that way. Like they might have just framed it as Steve Robinson's also retiring. But who knows? There's all kinds of potential reasons. Yeah, I don't know. It will kind of bring some new blood into the equation, you know? I mean, that's nothing against Steve Robinson, right? But,
no.
I mean, most of these coaches are all relatively new, even though they've been with Roy for some length of time. And the staffers, I think this is a big key, honestly. The staff members that they've kept, those were all long-time Roy guys. You know, Eric Coots, long-time Roy guy. I mean, he's my age. I've known Hoots forever. And Jonas Serration was with Roy at Kansas and then came here. Doug Halverson as well has been with Roy since I think 05 was the number. Like, so I'm just saying, like, they're not everybody in an integral role is somebody that like, I'm bringing in a former player or whatever it is. And I think that matters some too. You know, you keep the staffers around. People like that.
That's always good. That kind of got Matt Doherty in trouble.
Yep. So as long as Steve Robinson's feelings aren't too hurt, I think otherwise it's probably fine.
Thought it was smart to bring Jeff Lebo
in. Yeah.
I think
that
need,
to me is the thing.
I know there's probably an ECU or Auburn fan screaming right now, what the heck you need that bum for? But it's good to have a former head coach on your staff.
Yes.
Particularly when you're a first-time head coach. I think Hubert Davis probably has the lay of the land in terms of recruiting in the state of North Carolina. He's basically been Roy Williams' top recruiter since he was hired. But I think it does help to have a former head coach who you can bounce some ideas off of. And then
this is his old teammate, too.
Yeah. Yep. And then Sean May, elevating Sean May, I think is great, too. I think that will work out. So, no, I don't think there should be any complaints on the North Carolina side.
And one quick point about ECU fans who might want to bring up Jeff Lebo's tenure at East Carolina. That is an incredibly difficult place to succeed in college basketball. So I'm not going to
Had the CIT on lockdown, man.
Was Lebo the coach when they won the CIT?
Yes.
Oh, you know what?
See?
Then
come on.
No
now.
Bitching and moaning. You won a championship with Jeff Lebo. I don't want to hear it.
The
Next
CIT
up.
Trophy ceremony is still my favorite thing ever. That was amazing. Every second of it was amazing.
For those who might not remember it, the guy who was giving the trophy to ECU, I didn't know who the teams were, and he was reading everything off an iPhone screen.
It was awesome.
It was pretty epic.
Every second of it was great.
Next up.
Jeff has similar questions, and hey, Joe Lowe, we already answered, are we surprised that Steve Robinson was not retained, but do you think Steve Robinson himself was surprised?
Not entirely.
No, I don't think he was surprised. I'm sure he pretty much... The announcement today was not a surprise to Steve Robinson.
Yes.
Yes. Roy is a loyal enough person, too, that I think that however this was handled had to have been to Roy's liking when it comes to Steve.
I don't think there's anything to worry about in that regard. Next up.
Next up in Hey Jolo from Ken on Twitter. What are your thoughts on the proposed modification to NCAA rules that will allow a one-time transfer for a student athlete without penalty?
Well, it's gone through.
You know how I feel about that last term you used?
Penalty?
No.
Oh.
What's the other one?
Oh, student
athletes?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we're just reading it from the Twitter person, so... look, everybody expected this rule to go through. It's finally official. You're going to get a lot of hand-wringing from college basketball people like Dick Vitale and others who think this is a bad thing. I would argue, though, that how is this one-time transfer rule going to make it any worse than it is now?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was chaotic before, like you said. I mean, we were already getting to a point where I would look at an ACC roster towards the beginning of a season and be like, who is that? And where did that guy go? You know what I mean? Like, it was already getting difficult to track as it is, even without the one-time exemption. So, I mean, I will say this, like, not to get too crotchety. I like the principle behind it, and I think it's completely fair, right?
To let people transfer one time. Got it.
Yes. However, selfishly, as a college basketball follower,
oh, sure.
It just is. It's kind of chaotic, man. It's difficult to follow. And I think do I think it will hurt the product? Yeah, I do. But do I think that they have the right to do it and that the NCAA should have been way ahead of this? Yes, also.
This to me lays at the feet of the NCAA for not getting with the times or giving incentives for people to stay at universities. And what you see right now with G League Select and everything else that competes with college basketball. But again, I'll get back to a real simple thing with this one-time transfer rule. Did I miss the memo where transfers were not happening before this?
Right, they were.
I mean, we just dealt with an ACC season where you had all sorts of new names that lacked continuity from year to year. I'm not quite sure how this is going to make matters any worse.
Well, this takes out the sob story angle on transfers, right?
There's like, that too.
We'd have somebody get approved because their mom needed them to be within a zip code of them in order to survive.
Or their coach left or whatever it is, like the coach that recruited them.
Yeah.
You know, like even that.
There was,
I know,
it was completely,
or
the rules were applied completely unevenly by the NCAA.
Yes.
That's shocking for anyone to understand or learn.
Let's use one prime example of that. Braxton Beverly.
Mm. Right, yeah, he was initially ruled ineligible.
He was initially ruled ineligible at NC State when he transferred from Ohio State. And all the reason why is because Thad Matta decided, all right, they fired Thad Matta late.
Yeah.
And then because Braxton Beverly had taken a class in the summer session, it was viewed by the NCAA of not too late. And it wasn't until NC State lawyered up, my favorite phrase, that the NCAA eventually backed down and Braxton Beverly was immediately eligible to play.
Braxton, though, is also another example of why this rule is a good thing, because he's able to do right now the best imaginable thing for him. He's going to a smaller school where he'll have more of an impact, and he still gets the chance to do that without any sort of penalty and play one more year of college.
Next up.
Student athlete.
Yes,
oh, that is brilliant, Zap.
Next up, and hey, Joe Lowe from Felder on Twitter. Hey, Jolo, how tired is Brownlow of cooking at home?
I mean, listen, probably not as tired of it as my own family is, you know? No, I mean, I don't. Felder knows I hate this. He loves it. There's nothing Felder loves more than cooking at home.
Some people like cooking at home, some don't.
You would think that I would have gotten better at it. And I guess in some ways I have.
Not based on the Spurtle video that we did.
Right.
that was...
You know, it's... Nature,
that wasn't even
nature
cooking.
Nurture,
that was
right? Getting
mixing.
Reps. What's what's the word that you would use there, right? Well, to be fair, there was a part of that video where I made mac and cheese. The mac and cheese turned out well.
Okay.
I can cook mac and cheese. I don't know if that's a weird flex.
Was that
flex
the extended remix? I didn't see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I went from maximum laughs with the Spurtle video where she made chicken salad. Now, look, back when I used to do a morning show with Adam Gold, you know, you're done at like 9, 10 o'clock, and then you're with the show, and then you're kind of done with your day around noon. I loved it because it actually gave me the ability to cook every day. Now there's no way. There's no way to get done with the show, get home, and cook. So I actually miss cooking.
Yeah, well, my husband misses it too.
You're
he just doesn't have time to do it.
I'm not a quitter. When do you? When
you,
do
you don't have time to cook.
When do you cook? You don't leave here
when
until
I get home.
You don't leave here until like 8 o'clock. You're too busy playing Uno with Rand.
RBI baseball.
When do
RBI
I cook?
When do you cook at like 9 o'clock
what time
at night?
Do you guys eat dinner?
Every day, every freaking meal. When do I cook?
Well, wait, what time do you?
What
eat
time
dinner?
Do you eat dinner?
When I get home?
At what time?
I get home like 7:30.
Okay. So you eat at what time? You eat at like 8?
Yeah.
Oh
no,
no!
No, thank you.
Oh no! No! No!
No! No. Yeah. You're a psychopath. Next up,
I don't live 5 minutes from here. My bad.
I'm with you, Julio.
Cook on the weekends.
So set
I
up,
do.
Joe.
Last,
make lunch.
Last up, and hey, Joe from Jay
Wake up
on
and
Twitter.
Make lunch.
Oh, that's smart. Lauren, which mascot would you least like to go camping with?
Oh, God.
And Joe, I'm guessing this is obvious, which mascot would you want to see Lauren go on an outdoor adventure with?
Oh, so do I go first?
Yeah, you go first. You go first. Which mascot would you least like to go camping with?
Oh, it's Purdue Pete. Because I'm very convinced that Purdue Pete has murdered someone. So... being and I think doesn't he carry like an axe?
I think so, yeah.
So like, yeah, I don't want
so
that
have,
dude with the dead eyes and murder face.
You have
be.
An irrational fear of mascots.
Some of them. Not every single one, right?
I would argue that you need to go on a camping trip with the Providence Friar.
Oh no. I mean
with the little hood up and like the scary face and all that stuff.
Yeah, I figured you were going to go there.
Yeah, see, you didn't think about that one.
I did think about it, but Purdue Pete, because of his weapon.
All right, fair enough.
Still scares me more.
It's the OG.
I just sent you one.
Uh-oh.
Oh, which one is it?
Woo Shock.
Oh, the
oh,
Shocker
the Shocker?
Guy?
Yeah.
Wichita State. Have you seen this thing?
Yes. So, the Shocker guy doesn't...
Deranged.
It is deranged, but I am...
It's this the eyebrows that
I know,
get you?
I know
the eyelashes?
I know this is going to sound weird. And a mascot that is, like, openly deranged scares me less because, like, I get... You're putting it right out there, all right? I know that you're kind of crazy, but, mm-hmm. like, the ones with the dead eyes and, like, the mystery to their faces, they scare me more.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, is hanging out, like she typically does on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The NFL draft is 2 weeks away, Brownlow, and we've gotten to the point where we are starting to pick apart Trevor Lawrence. I would actually take Mac Jones of Alabama over Trevor Lawrence at this point, Lauren.
Well, that's cute.
I know, right? I think this is the classic paralysis by analysis, right?
Why is this even happening? Like, are we not already sure that he's going number one?
Well, he is going to be number one, but that's really that's difficult to talk about for months at a time. And as you get closer to the draft, or yeah, years for that. And actually, I think, as Julio just pointed out, I actually think that's the problem with somebody like Trevor Lawrence. He has been the de facto number one draft pick for 3 full seasons, from his freshman season to when he was eligible for the NFL draft. It has been a foregone conclusion. So what we do now is we can't tell you how great Trevor Lawrence is. We're just going to tell you about some of the things that he does wrong. But nobody's ever claimed for him to be a perfect quarterback. It's just fairly obvious he's going to be an NFL quarterback.
I think like if the critiques were less lazy, it wouldn't bother me so much.
How
have
they been lazy?
Well, I mean, like, what was it? He doesn't want it enough or something?
Well,
like...
that's the latest thing. So jeez. Trevor Lawrence and his dad and his high school coach were quoted in a Sports Illustrated piece yesterday that's been making the rounds today.
The carcass of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, what is that now?
It's the carcass of Sports Illustrated.
I mean, it's still called that. But
okay, got it. So yeah. It was a Sports Illustrated piece. And in this article, Trevor Lawrence was asked about like how he's grounded. Like, how do you keep this grounded approach? Like, what makes you tick? And the quote is, "It's hard to explain that because I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do. And it's really important to me. But I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to."
See, don't know that I agree with even his own self-analysis. Like, far be it for me to say what's on his mind, but like, what was that? What was that? Didn't he get the taunting penalty, like the unsportsmanlike penalty, like not long after he took that shot?
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of think he does have that a little bit in him, but maybe he just doesn't feel like that's a big part of his personality, well, if that makes sense.
I find Trevor Lawrence relatable here.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what Trevor Lawrence's biggest problem is?
What's his biggest problem?
Dude got married.
What does that have to do with anything?
Oh, jeez. Don't
Joe,
do this.
What?
What?
This is like
what is the smartest thing Derek Jeter ever did?
Never get married?
Not till he was done.
Okay.
He's about to have everybody and their mother throwing themselves at him. And he's going to get married at 22?
What year is this right now?
Joe.
What are we doing? Are you Mickey from Rocky right now?
Women, weak, and legs?
Is that where we're going?
No. It's nothing to do with women.
Then what does that have to do
with? Yeah, what does it have to do with?
No, explain.
I'm saying it's unsettling to me that he is about to enter a portion of his life.
Yeah.
Where he has decided, you know what? I'm going to do this at age 22. You and I settling down at age 22 is totally different from going being an NFL player and having all sorts of different options.
Hard stop. Is this why Philip Rivers never won a Super Bowl?
Maybe.
Jeez, come on.
I mean,
don't do that.
I'm being serious. Is Philip Rivers going to the Hall
Russell's,
of Fame?
Russell's too now.
That's a different story. Philip Rivers.
Russell's O-line aside,
it's the fact that he hadn't married Sierra
yet.
It calls into question his judgment.
Explain this. So did you question Philip Rivers' judgment when he left NC State? He was already having kids.
Yeah.
He had kids already, yeah, in school.
He was like an old married State. Man at
how
State.
Did that, how did that affect Philip Rivers?
Well, he didn't win at all, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
No, I don't know.
I mean, no, it's a crap take. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
What is
the
women...
part was a good part.
I guess.
No.
What does that have to do with anything?
Jeter was smart.
Well, it was smart for him.
Yes.
The question is, do you know how you can handle your...
Well, going to apply to every
single
person,
point is,
right?
You either know what you're capable of or you know what you're not capable of. Derek Jeter understood it made no sense for him to get married throughout his career or settle down with anybody because he probably didn't want to. Like, if you know you cannot, then you just don't get married that early.
Which is...
My guess is that Trevor Lawrence is based on his demeanor. He probably knows what the hell he's doing just getting married.
Yeah, like, I think it's good judgment in Jeter's case to not, because he doesn't want to be married.
Yeah.
Right? Like, in that case, good. But you shouldn't probably marry somebody if you think, like, oh, I don't want to lose her, but, like, I'm probably still going to play the field, which is what we see very commonly in pro athletics, do we not? Like, lot of guys that are like, I either want to date somebody exclusively or I want to be married and have my family at home and then have my road fam, so to speak. You know?
Women.
Like...
We can
lay. Seriously, this is are we back on 850 The Buzz, 1998? I mean, what is this?
I had this conversation with somebody over the weekend.
Okay.
Thought it was a valid take. It's fine.
What was their take?
That Jeter was the smart one, yeah.
But what was this person's point? Okay, so it was smart for Jeter. I don't know.
Are you it sounded like you were getting at that he should just be ready to sleep around.
No, I'm not saying he should be a monk. I'm just saying you have different choices in the NFL than you do for normal people. That's what I'm saying to you.
But what if he loves her?
I'm sure he does. He married her, right?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I'm kind of you've thrown me off on this one because I'm not quite sure what you're getting at.
Should we segue?
Yeah, we probably should. Go ahead and segue. Let's go to the Hat of Nonsense.
The Hat of Nonsense.
All right, guys, first up in the Hat of Nonsense, or the only thing in the Hat of Nonsense, is going on vacation with your kids still vacation?
Ooh.
I think it depends on a lot of factors, right? Like, a lot. For me, if I can have parents involved, like either mine or my husband's, it can be like a vacation because you can get breaks and they can watch your kid while you go do vacation-y things, you know?
I think it depends on what you're doing, right? If you're going to the beach for a week, you can probably carve out some relaxation.
I mean, if it's just you and your kids.
How old are your kids?
Right.
That also matters, too. That also matters. I think the age of the kid obviously matters as well. If you've got a newborn and you're taking them to the beach, that's not fun because you got to pack up a bunch of stuff.
We had this conversation like when Alex was really little too, because it would be like, because Eric would be like, we should go to the beach. And I'm like, well, we can't even like go out to dinner. Like he's going to be in bed. He's got to be in bed by like 8. Otherwise he's going to be a mess.
Yeah,
so like what?
Those to me aren't a vacation. Essentially what you're doing is you are picking up all of your stuff and just moving it closer to the ocean. Actually, there's a good Onion headline that makes the rounds every so often. That the headline is, "Mom spends beach vacation assuming all household duties in closer proximity to ocean."
That's not how our vacations tend to go. Actually, like usually the men on vacation.
Why does it have to be the mom, Joe? Is it 1988?
That's the joke. Don't get in your feels because you had a bad take. You did. It's fine. You just take the L and move on. But no, it doesn't happen. But that's why the joke hits, because typically it's the mom just assumes, and the mom's having a miserable time in that case. But I think you're right. When you go on those trips, it's the dudes who end up
Because there's a grill.
Yes.
Almost always. So they'll like alternate. That's how it's always gone on our vacations anyway with family, like especially if it's like extended family. Oh, yeah. The men always alternate cooking something on the grill, or we just go out to eat.
That reminds me of another Onion headline that says, "Dad spends entire vacation 8 steps ahead of family." That one hit a little too close for me.
You're a fast walker.
I'm a fast walker.
Yeah, that's true.
But that hit a little too close for me. Here's the thing about the thing. Yes, it's a vacation with the kids. It depends on what the vacation is.
Yeah.
If you're trying to plan some romantic Euro trip with your children,
that's
not going to happen.
We went to Europe for our 10th anniversary, and people were like, "Are you taking Alex?" And he was like 2.5 at the time. I was like, why would I do that?
Hell no.
That sounds like a nightmare.
But like, you know, in our family, taking the kids to a national park, that's fun. You might not be able to go hike the highest summits. Doesn't matter.
I'm probably not going to be able to hike the highest summits.
It was still fun.
Without my kid, to be honest.
Let's open up the Heister Automotive Group hotline and get you ready for the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Abby LaBar, Bally Sports, now joins us. Abby, what's up?
Ooh, girls' day. I love it. Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
What were you guys just talking about mascots?
Yes.
What do you think of Caroline?
Oh, what? Stormy's Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know this was a thing.
Oh, have you not seen Caroline?
No.
She's got pigtails.
Oh.
She hasn't been around this season, though, I don't think. I haven't seen her.
Are they on a break?
Maybe. But, you know, they could be.
I'm a big fan.
Maybe, Abby, Caroline's been waiting for an engagement ring from Stormy.
We need to get the deacon in there to get them married, right? Like Mr. and Miss Wolf.
Yeah, the deacon can take care of that.
Miss Wolf is amazing. Like, I'm a big fan of lady mascots, actually.
Oh, I love Miss Wolf.
Oh, I prefer. I Miss Wolf is the best.
I'll Lauren be the judge of Caroline once you find her.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. Okay. So I think if you look at their Facebook page, I actually just went to Stormy's and it says relationship status complicated.
Ooh.
So I don't know. Look, man.
We were on a break.
On a break. Speaking of breaks. The Carolina Hurricanes had a 2-day break after a pretty, I believe Rod Brindamore referred to that game against Detroit as gross.
Yep.
Okay.
I like that word. It's a good Rod Brindamore word for sure.
That is a good Rod Brindamore word. So Rod Brindamore has also talked about this team not having as many clunkers as he anticipated. So you're bound to have a game like that. I guess the question is, you know, did it happen at a right time? Because you've just come out of these playoff-like games against the Florida teams, and you know you're competing for that top spot in the division. This is just the reminder you can't turn it off because you're in the stretch run, and all these points matter, especially for playoff seeding.
Yeah, and the last thing you want to do, right, is go into the playoffs like having lost your last however many games. Like that's the opposite of what you want to be doing. I don't know if there's ever really a right time for these things. I think there's a better time. But yeah, I mean, it's a good point. Like Shane and I were talking about it. In an 82 game season, you get multiple stretches of these, you know, 2 or 3 games that are just not good. And sometimes the players get out there and it's just, you know, your legs aren't working and it's your body's just saying not tonight. And the Canes have been really lucky this season, especially with how demanding the schedule is, that really even I think that 3 game, those 3 losses in a row that they had earlier in the season, they still played great. They could have won those games. So this was really, you know, the last two games are really the two games this season where you lost and you walk away and you're not proud of it. I think you can walk away from some of those losses that they've had this season, and Rod Brind'Amour was still proud and happy with the effort. So I think the message is pretty clear in that locker room, and I don't think this is something or a way that they ever want to feel again, especially when you're talking about contending for a Stanley Cup this year. Because at this point, you're in the playoffs. Now it's like, if you're going to be a Stanley Cup team, you know, it's got to turn around quickly.
Abby Loire, Bally Sports, joining us here on the OG. Abby, this might sound a little bit strange, but is it possible that given the length of this homestand that they've gotten a little bit bored?
I don't know if they've gotten bored. I think you could maybe argue, and I guess maybe content is probably a better word. And I don't know, you kind of get into a routine where, you know, they are at home with their families. They are getting to spend some extra time. Like normally when you're in the hotel, all you can do, especially this season, is just sit around and think about your game, which you can argue is also a good or a bad thing, right? You know, you could maybe dive into it a little deeper and say maybe there are some different distractions that they're not used to getting this season. And, you know, so maybe content is a better word than I think bored. But at the end of the day, PNC Arena is one of the best places to play, and you have the crowd. And, you know, you would think that having your family at home would be more of a mental break for you rather than a negative thing. But I do like, you know, I do see where you're going with that.
Abby Loire, Bally Sports, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovies. All right, so I believe tonight we will see the recent trade deadline acquisition defenseman Joni Hakanpaa, correct?
Joni Hakanpaa. I like the name.
That's how, but that's actually how you pronounce his last name, right?
Hakanpaa, yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
So,
yeah.
Look, some people kind of push back on the Canes not really making any moves to, quote-unquote, get themselves better. There could have been some other reasons why Hayden Fleury was dealt. The expansion draft has been brought up with this. I know President and General Manager Don Waddell brought this up earlier in the week. So what are they trying to do defensively with somebody like Hakanpaa? Is it to make sure they get a little grittier? I mean, he likes to hit, apparently. He's a stay-at-home defenseman. I mean, what can we expect tonight?
I think it's just really balancing out the blue line. The biggest thing, and Don Waddell was saying this before the trade deadline, they needed a right-handed defenseman. And so now you look down the pairings tonight, you have three lefties, three righties. And it's Jake Bean actually spoke to it this morning. You know, a lot of guys play on their offside and they can do it well, but sometimes it's those little things, right? Like the board battles where you're trying to use your backhand to get it out instead of your forehand. And so being on, you know, your right side, it's going to be more valuable. So I think just defensively, it's going to make them better and keep them out of their own zone. And that's the way that the Canes play their game. And that's the secret to their success, is keeping the puck out of their own zone and putting it deep into the offensive zone. And the last couple of games, they haven't been able to, you know, get their forecheck going in the offensive zone. And it all starts back on the blue line. So I think it's a big balancing thing. I mean, the grittiness is good. I think our team has done a really good job this season at handling the physicality, which is a good improvement than what we've kind of seen in at least playoffs, in the playoffs last year and the year before. So I know there's always conversation about needing those grittier players, and it's always good to have that. But I think the Canes have handled the physicality well. I think this is just kind of, that's a good bonus to have a big body there. But you know, hopefully it just balances the guys out and gets your offensive defensemen going. And I'm excited to see how Jake Bean handles this,
okay,
right? Because he's played well this season. And, you know, hopefully this just allows him to kind of take off some more.
Who's starting tonight in net?
I think Peter Mrazek. Yeah, Peter Mrazek.
Okay. Well, because, you know, everybody's going to be fascinated about the rotation, even if Rod Brind'Amour doesn't want to talk about it anymore. But because I guess some people some people raise an eyebrow about James Reimer starting on Monday before this break. But I didn't think too much of it. I mean, maybe you just kind of keep Reimer frosty before you you go back into a stretch where you're more likely going to go back to Mrazek and Nedeljkovic. I mean, you still got to keep Reimer involved, right?
Absolutely. And that's the challenge that Rod Brind'Amour has continued to talk about. It's making sure the guys are engaged, because you don't want one sitting too long. Even in practice, right? Like, it's getting at the, like, Reimer wasn't at morning skate this morning. That's the morning off for him. So even those little things, and that's why he's been rotating out the backup goaltenders too, because those are the guys that are getting the reps at practice as well. So it's just all about keeping them engaged, especially now that we're past the trade deadline. It will be interesting to see how he continues to rotate those three.
Abby Labar, Fox Sports. I'm sorry, Bally Sports. Bally Sports.
Come on.
I need, like, the shock collar to, like, no, zap. No, wrong one. Bally Sports, we'll be watching you tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Speaking of Carlos Rodon, the man who coached him at NC State now joins us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline, Elliot Avent. How are you?
I am fine. How are you guys?
So did you stay up for that last night? Like, when did you get wind that Carlos Rodon was on the precipice of a perfect game?
Not until I got home, actually. I knew he was pitching because he and I texted before the game, and because we were headed to South Bend this morning, and so I was just going to miss him pitching. So we were texting after our batting practice, and while he was hanging out in the locker room, we were texting. And so I was going to go home and watch the game and hope he'd still be in the game, but you didn't know because I was going to get home pretty late. And on the way home, Scotty McCreary texted me and said, "Are you watching Carlos?" And I said, "No, I'm on the way home." And he said, "Well, get home quick because he's pitching pretty good." But he didn't let on to what was going on. So until I walked in and cut the TV on, I didn't realize he had a perfect game.
NC State baseball coach Elliot Avent joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Elliot, did you think after Carlos's first start against Seattle that we were going to get more of a vintage performance from Carlos this year? That first start, I really thought, the way that he pitched was a great sign after all the injuries that he's been through the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's – I don't think he's – I think Pedro Martinez may have said it in the interview last night. They were talking about what Carlos did the first couple of years, and he was good. And then a couple of years not as good, and he was, and Pedro was saying he wasn't healthy that year. He wasn't healthy that year. And I think you did get a glimpse of – a healthy Carlos Rodon in that first game. And then obviously you saw who he can be and why he was drafted third pick of the Major League Draft last night.
Elliot Avent, NC State baseball coach, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. Carlos Rodon, who came out of NC State, pitched a no-hitter last night. You mentioned, you know, the what could have been or what could be. I don't think people quite understand the path to this game last night and why it's being received the way it's being received. You know, he gets drafted third overall in 2014. He has a Tommy John surgery in 2019. What was it, in 2017? I think he had a shoulder surgery. And he gets non-tendered by the White Sox at the end of 2020. He gets picked up at a cut-rate deal this upcoming season. So, I mean, this has been a path for him to get to this point. And I know you've kept up with him, as you mentioned, texting. I mean, that's a lot to go through, being a third overall pick and not having all these things happen to you in the early parts of your career.
Yeah, but it is a lot to go through, and I'm sure it was very, very difficult. But he's very tough minded. This guy is very, very tough minded. We don't have the time, but if I could go through some things in his career that he's done along the way, he is very tough mentally, and he has a very supportive wife. Who shares that toughness and support. And it always helps when you go home to somebody that can share what you need to get you through some tough times. I think he handled it well. It wasn't easy, but I'm glad the baseball fans are getting to see who Carlos Rodon is and why the White Sox made him their third pick.
NC State baseball coach Elliot Avent joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. Elliot, with your team this year, you guys have won six in a row. You play at Notre Dame. I want to go back to the Boston College series, though. That was really cool that you guys were all wearing the number 26 for Chris Combs. Obviously, Boston College has their own ALS connection with Pete Frates. But that idea, where did it come from, and how do you think that gave your group a lift?
They most of our guys got to know Chris. You know, Chris is around the ballpark a lot, and not in the last couple of years, but he was early on. So a lot of our guys know Chris and have a great deal of respect for who he was as a person and his career. But his dad, Francis Combs, is around the ballpark a lot, and they know Francis and love Francis. So that was special for them. And plus, if you just look at the Ice Bucket Challenge and Pete Frates and what he means to Boston College. So Boston College and NC State have a pretty good relationship as institutions. And my relationship with their head coach, Mike Gambino, and the entire staff, their associate AD, Matt Conway. So we've always tried to make that ALS game happen with us in Boston College. And it's been special through the years on both sides. And it was neat to see everybody wear number 26, as I think a lot of people in baseball are wearing number 42 today for different reasons. But it's kind of neat that somebody is honored in that way.
Elliot Avin, NC State head baseball coach, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. So, look, we've dealt with a football season in college that has been postponed because of COVID. Games have been rescheduled or straight up canceled. We saw this with college basketball as well, leading up to teams not even being able to participate in the ACC tournament because of COVID issues. How have things been with baseball? I know you've had a series or two either rescheduled or canceled straight up, but have things kind of settled down with the protocols? How is this? I mean, you guys are playing like every day practically, I think. So how has this season been different?
Yeah, it's been way different. One, we got to school later. Two, when the guys go train in the off season to come back in 3 short weeks, when you're back in college, you're playing. That's not enough time. And so it depends on what they were able to get done over Christmas individually for themselves. And I think COVID played a part in some guys not being able to get ready. And so you get guys back a week late to school that probably didn't get the preparation they needed. And we missed, I think, 7 total games due to COVID. And then you're going right in ACC play the third weekend of the season. And it just made it really, really difficult. But we weathered the storm, but the storm did leave us a little bit in a hole, and digging out of holes aren't easy. And they sometimes fill up as much as you try to dig out. But these guys have been unbelievable and have played very, very well the last 4 weeks. And I'm really proud of the way they handled things through the adversity we had early.
Elliot Avin, NC State's baseball coach, joining us here on the OG. You're not going to like it when I point out this stat. I'll say it anyway. You're 8-0 on the road. Normally, you don't want to play a top 10 team away from home. But what do you think has been the key to your success on the road this season?
You know, I think it's just about playing better. You know, usually you want to play at home. And I think it's just we're playing better. It's not that we're playing better on the road. We're just playing better right now. And the fact that we're playing better is a good thing. But like I said, when you got to go play Notre Dame, who is just, I think they're leading their division, and I think Virginia Tech is leading the other division, and we got them both the next 2 weekends. So like I said, the hole you found yourself in early on is tough to climb out of, but these guys have done an unbelievable job. But they're going to have to continue to play very, very well as the next stretch becomes very difficult.
Elliot Avin, NC State head baseball coach here on the OG. Appreciate the time. Glad that you're able to catch up with Carlos Rodon, who had that no-hitter last night. He did seem like he chirped at, who was it, Perez? He clipped his ankle. I guess he wanted him to move a little quicker.
No, I don't think so. I think I heard Carlos's interview after the game. I think they're friends, and they've played against each other for a while. And he was just kind of asking, did that really hit you? And the guy said, yeah. I think he was just asking, did that really hit you? Like, tell me it didn't hit you. You know, tell me we can review it. And it didn't hit you because I think he was just trying to find out if that pitch really hit it.
Yeah, this is the hell of a way to have that perfect game go, man. But still, no-hitter is pretty awesome as well. Coach, we appreciate the time.
All right, good talking to you guys.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovias and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Joe O to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.